Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. I'm your overnight dude, 2 to 5 a.m. weekday mornings. It's Wild Card Wednesday. Any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. We'll get to that later on, but get your requests in. And Tom McBride is going to join us to talk about his new book, When You Could Only Dribble Once, 51 Famously Forgotten Crime Game Changers. And he'll be joining us after 3 o'clock. Terrific book. Very entertaining. And he's a great guy. As we mentioned at the top of the show, and as I know many folks here at WGN have mentioned, we lost one of our family members here at GN, Mike Mathis. Mike Mathis started here in 1983 with the Wally Phillips Show, and he was a key voice in WGN's Traffic Central up until 2008, and he was part of Kathy and Judy's show. He was part of Spike's show. Bob Collins and more, you know, it was sudden. We were all shocked. We were all incredibly saddened. He was only 68 years old. I just saw him less than 2 months ago at the Walk of Fame induction right out here at Pioneer Court, and we got a chance to catch up and talk and laugh. He was an amazingly nice man and very funny and really great at his job, and it was just wonderful. You couldn't meet a nicer guy. And it was wonderful to catch up with him, you know, just less than a couple of months ago. And then this happens. So we wanted to remember Mike Mathis. And a little bit later on, I'm going to be playing some audio from Spike's show. And we are going to play his full induction from that day, May 25th, when he was inducted into the Walk of Fame. But I wanted to talk with Steve and Johnny, who obviously knew Mike, and Johnny, who worked in traffic with him every morning. And we wanted to welcome Steve and Johnny back to the show. Hi, guys. Welcome back.
Hi there.
Hi.
Mike.
So
talk to you on these kind of occasions.
Yeah, I know. It's sad, but I wanted to, you know, we want to remember Mike. And and I know that you guys knew him very well. I didn't get to work with him on a regular basis because of, you know, his hours. Mm-hmm. But I knew him and I got to know him and worked with him a few times. And he couldn't have been a nicer guy and couldn't have been funnier and better on the air. He was terrific at his job. And mm-hmm. I just wanted to get your thoughts on Mike.
You know, one of the things I was thinking as you were talking about him, Mike may be the only person I've ever known that I can say this about. I never, and I mean never, saw him in a bad mood.
Yeah. I would agree with that. And yeah. We worked side by side 5 days a week every morning for 7 years. And it, blizzards, he would just chuckle and say, hey, we just roll with it. Horrible rain. He knew he was going to have to get in that helicopter and make the decision, the pilot, and he would decide would they fly or not. But he was just, he loved his job. He loved being at WGN. And he was so, as you said, Nick, he was so very good at his job. He was a Cook County Sheriff's Police. He loved that work, too. And then when he got tapped to come over to GN in 83 and work in traffic, at that time, everything was done outside the studio. It was done in helicopters by Chicago policemen and Mike, representing Cook County Sheriff. And then in 85, when I joined GN, my role was to bring Traffic Central into the building so that there would always be traffic on the radio despite the weather. Mm-hmm. So that was my job. And Mike was incredibly supportive. I'll go so far as to say that there were some other people from other law enforcement departments that weren't as excited about this chick coming in to run the Traffic Central, but he was amazing.
Yeah. In fact, Johnny and I were talking about this earlier because we first met Mike when WGN was working out of the Bradley Place location.
Right.
With the helicopter pad outside.
Right, right.
Mike could not have been more welcoming to both of us. I mean, yeah. I was only doing part-time at that point, but he was just as friendly and as funny and as welcoming and specifically supportive of Johnny as he yeah. could possibly have been.
Absolutely. And we covered some huge stories on the morning show because it was the three of us. When things happened, Collins would say to us off the air, okay, you guys, it's your show. So it was me in studio, Mike in the helicopter, and Larry Schreiner on the streets. And the adrenaline was pumping in. We just went like bulldogs after stories, and he was the greatest reporter. His eyes in the sky were just so spot on. I know that other, and in fact, it's come up on Facebook this morning, Nick, that other traffic reporters have chimed in and said, oh, my gosh, you know, he was the best. They either flew with him or they worked with him or they listened to him to see what he was doing on the radio.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's Mary Vandevelt posted a really nice remembrance of him yesterday evening. And I know the, you know, the impact that that, you know, he had on her and so many other people. And, you know, I didn't work in traffic or anything. And, you know, I mean, he was nice. He was so incredibly nice to me.
Yeah.
And every time I saw him, you know, we would talk and joke around. And he just not only, as you mentioned, Johnny, was he great in as the eye in the sky and as a reporter getting things done. But he was hilarious.
He was. And thank goodness, as time evolved and the traffic department then became, okay, 24 hours a day. We're going to do this 24. We're going to make this happen. He would come in to the studio at 10 o'clock in the morning and relieve me because at that point I was doing half of the night, and then I was doing mornings with Bob, and so I would be done at 10, so he would take over for me, and that left him with Kathy and Judy, and boy, did he grow, and did we see a side of this guy? He was hilarious.
And as you know, for a guy to hold his own with Kathy and Judy, that's no mean feat.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. I mean, you know, and he was so great on that show and so funny, and it was a nice counterbalance. It was nice to have Kathy and Judy, and then you had Bertrand.
Yeah.
And you had Mathis, and they were so great together. And Mathis's contributions were, you know, informative and helpful and really funny and very entertaining.
Funny. One of the biggest stories that we covered, and I was thinking about this the other day because it was summer, and I had to look up the date. It was 1990, and he would get to the airport to Midway at about 5:45, and he would check in with me at 5:30 and tell me that he was en route or he was there. And when he got there at 5:45, his pilot and his helicopter were not there. And he's on the radio talking to me, and he said, I don't know what's going on. This is weird. You know, it's one thing for Jeff not to show up, but it's another thing for the copter not to be here.
Yeah.
This was, and he said, and I know what happened. He said, last night he was up at Alpine Valley flying Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh, no.
And Eric Clapton back. Now, at this point, no one knew that there was a helicopter on the side of a mountain in East Troy, Wisconsin. And Mike said, you know, I'm going to have to make some calls and find out what's going on. And
that was how the news broke of Stevie Ray Vaughan being killed.
I did not know that. I had no
idea. Yeah, and initially there was this concern, oh, my God, you know, who's in the helicopter? Because there was some thought that Eric Clapton was in there. In fact, three of Eric Clapton's band members that were in there.
Right, right.
And
Robert Cray, people thought Robert Cray may have been on the
board. Right, yeah. And I think Clapton's wife was with him.
Yeah.
And so they knew that Jeff and this Bell helicopter were up there, that the company that Mike flew with and for out of Midway, this was one of their gigs. The guys were real excited about it. The pilot, Jeff, was, I think he's in his late 40s. He was a big fan. I think he got to go to the show. And Mike, he just boom, 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 he put everything together.
But as I recall, that was one of those cases of one of those stories that as we're getting more and more information and we realized, we're getting this information, we don't want to say anything on the air until family members have been
told
what happened.
Yeah. Oh, and in fact, as I recall, Mike was the one that says, let me call his house, because he would have to communicate with his pilot if the weather was really bad. Sometimes they would say, you know, don't even bother coming to that airport. We're not flying today.
Yeah.
So they communicated all the time. So he says, I'm going to call his house. And he did, and I think it was about 10 after 6, we had enough information. Everyone had been told that needed to be told before we were able to go on the air and say, you know, this horrible thing has happened up in East Troy, Wisconsin, after the Alpine Valley concert, and boom, that was the big story that morning.
I had no idea that's how it happened. And people have to understand, in 1990, the way you got news was completely different than how you get it now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and, you know, we were talking those big bag phones. We had those big telephones. You didn't have the greatest service. And I remember he called me from the car, and he said, I remember this like it was yesterday. He was sitting out in the parking lot, and he said, I got a bad feeling because, you know, he's not here, and neither is the ship. And that was just one of those mornings.
If I recall, you talk about it being different in how you gather news. Johnny, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't even know if we had computers in the studio in 1990.
Well, I had a pretty sophisticated computer that gave me traffic information.
Right, but I mean, as far as being able to access all of the instant...
No.
In 1990? No way. No.
In 1990, I was still dealing with Mike Mathis and Larry Schreiner on a two-way radio with an earbud in my ear listening to not one but six scanners going with Bob Collins in my other ear.
Wow.
So I'm talking to Larry and Mike, and
wow.
Let me tell you, Mike could do stand-up routine. I would be laughing, and Collins would see me on the monitor and ask me during the break, hey, what's going on? And I'd tell him, he'd go, hey, get Mike ready. I want him to do that on the radio.
Yeah.
And that would happen a lot of times because that was just the way he was. He just had a great perspective on life. And
also, that Mike had that rare ability. There are some people, with all due respect to people who are in helicopters and doing traffic reports, sometimes they can't be that relaxed. They're kind of, you know, tense being up. Mike was just as relaxed as he could be.
Some of the guys would talk in that shotgun staccato where everything just kind of blends together, you kind of hang on and you're thinking, okay, well, this is really just a thumb sucker because I'm not knowing anything this guy's saying. But Mike talked to you and he'd say, you know, you don't need to go out here. You need to turn around and go back. This is terrible. Yeah. When we reported on floodings or fires or whatever, he really gave you the story with passion.
Yeah.
That's the best word you can use.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, hang on, okay?
Sure.
All right. Steve and Johnny are with us for a sad reason. Mike Mathis passed away. He was only 68 years old. He was 25 years here with WGN. He started in 1983 with Wally Phillips. And we got more stories to talk about Mike, and Steve and Johnny will remember him as well. And we'll play a little audio. We're going to play his entire induction from the ceremony on May 25th, and then a little bit of audio from Spike Odell's show as well. We're going to take a break. We got the news coming up next on 720 WGN. All right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich will have your opening bell at 5. The great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Coming up after the 3 o'clock news, we will be joined by author Tom McBride, good friend of the show. He's also the co-creator of the annual Beloit College Mindset List. He and Ron Neef put that together, and it's always it's a yearly tradition, and we always have him on to talk about that. But his latest book is called When You Could Only You Can Only Dribble Once, 51 Famously Forgotten Game Changers, which is about some Americans who were basically forgotten but really did change the face of many sports. It's a terrific book, very entertaining. We're going to talk to him. A little bit later on, we're also going to talk about some of the more memorable publicity and marketing stunts that have been pulled over the years. And there are a lot of memorable ones. Heinz pulled one yesterday when they said that here in Chicago that they were going to debut Chicago dog sauce because Chicagoans, good, right-thinking Chicagoans do not put ketchup on their hot dogs. And they've tricked people into thinking that this was some sort of special sauce, but it turned out to be ketchup. So it was a marketing stunt. We're going to talk about some of the more memorable ones. That's coming up as well. But right now we're taking some time here to remember Mike Mathis, a longtime traffic reporter here at WGN, passed away at the young age of 68. He started here in 1983 and was a great guy and a total professional. It was a shock, and we're all saddened by it here in our WGN family. And we wanted to bring Steve and Johnny in to talk about Mike Mathis and share some other stories. And we welcome Steve and Johnny back. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nick.
All right.
Johnny and I were just talking about one of those off-air things that was an example of the kind of person that Mike Mathis was.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, the structure of WGN Radio is such that you share a lot of your life on the air. Well, on the air, we were talking about a trip that we were planning down to our vacation home in Florida.
Right.
That's a 1,000-mile drive, but we were taking some friends and their kids, and we were just kind of musing about, well, gee, how are we going to fit everybody into our sedan? At that time, we had it was an Oldsmobile touring sedan. And we were just kind of saying, well, maybe they'll drive and we'll drive and they'll follow us or something. We get off the air. Mike Mathis calls and he says, hey, guys, I heard you talking. I just got It was a Ford conversion van.
One of those big conversion vans. Mm.
It says it seats seven. And he says, if you guys want to take it, you're more than welcome to do that. And we said, oh, no, no. And he said, no, I really, really mean it.
We said, we're going to be gone a week. He goes, well, it's not like my daily driver. I want you to have it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we wound up going out to Mike's house. He kept our car, and we took his van. And it was, again, just an example of the kind of person that Mike Mathis was.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. That's great. Now, you know, one of the things that we were has been talked about is this the news coverage of the shooting of two deputies in Lake County in 1990.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, again, he was the consummate professional when it came to you've got the story. But if you think it's important that you lead just because you've got the story, no, that's not the important thing. The important thing is you're dealing with families, and we need to, you know, make sure that everybody is contacted. And he and Larry Schreiner used to go kind of lock horns about that sometimes, because over the two-way radio, he'd say, Larry, back off. Cool off, man. We got to make a couple more phone calls before you can jump the gun and
yeah.
go back and forth.
Because Larry, God bless him, but Larry was kind of
I've got the information. I need to answer first. I know people. I've got my sources.
Right.
No, but they have families, Larry, you know, so we kind of went back and forth like that. That was a crazy year when you think about it, 1990.
Yeah.
Some of the big things that and again, we keep going back to what a professional and what a passionate guy he was about his profession, but he was also passionate about his family. Do I have a minute just to tell my absolute favorite, hands down, my favorite
please,
story?
Please, please, yeah.
Okay. He would tell me on the two-way radio, it was a great day when he got to call and wake up his daughter for school, his little girl. And I think she must have been maybe 4 or 5 years old at the time. And, of course, he was already at work when she would get up to go to school. And he'd say, hey, this was one of those mornings when I called her as Mickey Mouse, and I woke her up. She did not know it was her dad calling. It was Mickey Mouse calling. He did a great Mickey Mouse imitation. Mm-hmm. So, hi, Marsha, it's Mickey. How are you today? And he would do this for me on the radio, and I'd laugh, and I'd say, oh, that's so cool. You're making great memories. Well, they got to go to Disney World. Now, this had been going on for months, and she actually would look forward to waking up because she thought this would be a day that Mickey Mouse was going to call her. And, Nick, they got to Disney, and she runs up to Mickey Mouse, and it's me, Marsha. And Mickey's like, huh, you know, he doesn't speak and he doesn't talk at the park, and he's patting her on the head, and he's looking at all the other kids, and, no, it's me.
Yeah.
It's me. You call me every day. And then she becomes inconsolable because he's not recognizing that it's her. So Mike quickly thinks we kind of deal with this. So I think they must have taken her back to the room, and he called her in the room, and he explained to her, if I let the other kids know that we have this special relationship, they would be jealous. Oh, okay, Mickey, I understand. It's our secret. Then everybody went back to the park, and it was all great.
And everything was fine, yeah. Yeah, that's great. That's really great. You know, the thing about doing traffic and morning drive, as you know, Johnny, is crazy. You know, and I mean, do you remember how did you guys ever come up with a system as to make it easier? Because it's not easy, you know, especially the way you guys had to do it, as you just described.
Yeah, because you had to make phone calls, and you had to look for the story because it wasn't being fed to you in any way. You know, a lot of people would say, well, how do you get the information? And there are these computer sensors that are on the roadway that would trigger drive times, and we would know that there was a problem if all of a sudden a computer sensor was functioning weirdly. So we would send Mike out there in the helicopter if it was closer for Larry to go in the car. And I think we worked together. I think, Steve, you'll back me up on this behind the scenes. Personality-wise, we were perfect for each other,
absolutely,
the three of us, because, you know, we could bring Larry down to earth, and then Mike was like the voice of reason, and I was just kind of like the juggler, just throwing balls up in the air and hoping to catch them all.
Well, and Mike occasionally flying with some of the reporters from some of the other stations.
Yeah.
Those contacts sometimes he would be able to get in touch with and say, okay, now here we've got a little more information and feed it to Johnny.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's real interesting to tonight to look on Facebook to see the number of reporters that are just, they were stunned as we were by the news because they knew him because they worked with him side by side or respected him so much because of what he did.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, when I heard about it, I was floored. I was stunned, but you know, I'm not surprised by the outpouring of love for Mike. I just knew him at the station here. You know, we didn't know each other personally as friends or anything like that. But we were colleagues here at the station. We worked together, and I knew him in that regard. And one of the nicest guys that you could ever, one of the nicest guys that's ever worked here, ever. And as you guys said, always happy, always in a good mood, and always very supportive. I just want to mention really quickly, the day of the Walk of Fame induction. Mike and I were on opposite ends of the stage when we were being inducted. I was all the way stage right in the back on the second, you know, they gave me a bar stool to sit on because I'm an alcoholic. That's why they did that. And so all the way in the front corner was Mike. Mike was all the way like in the middle near the front. He was next to Judy. But he was in the front. And he was a little ways away. When we first saw each other, we said hello. We shook hands. But it was crazy. As you guys know, you know, there was cameras everywhere. There were people trying to pull, you know, talk to you and all that kind of, you don't want to, you know, you had fans coming up. You had, you know, WGN television was there. Dean is interviewing us, you know, all this stuff. So it was hard.
It's emotional.
I'm sorry?
It's emotional.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
Yeah. And my parents are there and they're losing their minds. And so it was really a crazy day. And I didn't really get to connect with Mike. I wanted to. And during one of the commercial breaks, one of the long news commercial breaks, Mike came over and he walked over to me. And he said, I just wanted to come up and say hi, man. And so we shook hands and we stood and we talked for a little bit. First thing he asked me, this was Mike Mathis. First thing he asked me was, hey, man, how come you're not doing any theater anymore? And he said, because he came to see one of my shows. Mike came to see one of my shows and I didn't know it. The first thing he said was, I think you should do more theater. I think you need to get back into that. And I was like, well, my schedule is really tough now. You know, it was easier when I wasn't full time, but I got to tell you, I'd rather be full time here. And and so we started talking about that. But that was the first thing he asked. And we talked about that, about my theater. And he asked me a bunch of questions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was just that's the way he was. He was always interested in what you were doing. It was a selfless guy. You know?
Absolutely.
I always wondered what it would have been like if he'd had the opportunity to be behind the mic as a host.
Oh, yeah.
He would have been awesome.
I think he would have been terrific. No, there's no question about it. I mean, and I love the fact that like guys like Spike and Kathy and Judy opened him up more on the air. He wasn't just a traffic reporter. He became part of the shows.
Well, he went from being Officer Mike Mathis to being Mikey.
Yeah, exactly.
He was Mikey to everybody. And, you know, that's just a loving term.
Absolutely.
Because people wanted to let him know that, you know, you're an important part of this.
Well, I mean, it was a wonderful evolution to listen to. You know what I mean? Yeah. It really was. As a person who listened to this radio station every single day of my life, Mike had this evolution that happened, and it was wonderful to hear.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Well, listen, I want to thank you guys for staying up with us, man. And I really appreciate it. But I had to, you know, get your thoughts on Mike. Obviously, we wanted to remember him here on the show.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, Steve and Johnny, take care. By the way, I know that you've got stevenjohnny.com. You guys have your website up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I know we were talking about this. Tom Appel was on the show yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And so we talked about your road test of the 2017 Toyota Camry XLE.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which is up now and people can see it.
Yeah, it was just posted yesterday afternoon.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, cool. I hope everybody checks it out. Steve and Johnny, thank you again, okay? Have a great morning.
Take care.
Okay, see you later. Steve and Johnny. Always great to have them on. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll hear Mike's induction, Mike Mathis' induction into the Walk of Fame. It just happened less than 2 months ago, and we'll hear that and more. We're remembering Mike Mathis, the great Mike Mathis, taken from us way too soon. And, you know, the WGN family wishes everyone the best and condolences to the family and friends. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll come back after this on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Hi. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Hope everybody is well. Coming up after 3 o'clock, we're going to talk about 51 Americans who you don't remember, that I don't remember, but they changed the face of sports as we know it. A new book called When You Could Only Dribble Once, 51 Famously Forgotten Game Changers is out right now. Tom McBride is the author. It's a terrific book. He's a great guy, and he'll be coming up after 3 o'clock. And then we're going to talk about some of the craziest and most successful and some of the weirdest publicity and marketing stunts of all time. But right now we're remembering Mike Mathis, great traffic reporter, great just personality, a wonderful guy, very funny, unbelievably one of the nicest guys that you would ever meet. He passed away. He was 68 years old. He spent 25 years here at WGN working traffic and flying in the helicopter and doing reports and doing even more than that. He was beloved by everybody who here at WGN. We were remembering him. It was nice to have Steve and Johnny on to talk about their personal stories with Mike. Mike was inducted into the Walk of Fame the same day I was, which was an honor to be on stage with everybody and Mike included. And it was a wonderful day, and I will never forget it. And I got to hang out with Mike and talk to Mike and joke around with him and stuff. And it was fun to catch up with him, if just for a brief time. And it was a great day. And I wanted to play the actual induction of Mike into the 2017 Walk of Fame. And so let's hear that.
Mike Mathis spent most of his 25 years on the air at WGN Radio as an airborne traffic reporter. The guy would do a split shift. We'll ask him about that. But first, a little bit more about Mike.
WGN News is on the air.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
Honoring our legends.
You're listening to station WGN.
In the aviation world, you're often judged by how many hours you've spent in the air.
He was in a helicopter for all those years. Little Mikey Mathis.
Airborne traffic reporter Mike Mathis spent most of his mornings and afternoons in the air for 25 years.
The job's harder than it looks, right? You got to read the roads from above.
Absolutely. The world looks so much different. The streets don't look like the streets that you call them when you're 500 feet off the ground.
Mike looked down on Chicago roads, starting with Wally, then through Bobby, Spike, and Kathy and Judy.
He always scared me half to death because he would call and he'd be like, Mary, Chopper One, we have blizzard conditions. Yeah, we're going to land at about 5. And he'd say so calmly, and I'd be like, Mike, get down.
Fortunately, everything worked out pretty well for us.
The thing that I enjoyed the most about it is that I knew when I was going to work in the morning, I was going to have fun. We were going to have fun because if we had fun, we were hoping and planning that y'all, everyone else, would have fun as well.
Congratulations to Mike Mathis.
Thank you, Wendy. Thank you.
It's such an honor to meet you. Come on, you weren't scared?
You know,
listening to Mary Vandeveld talk about that in the middle of a blizzard.
But I was trained for that. I was trained for, you know, coming from law enforcement. I was trained to trust your training and trust what you had learned, and that would carry you through, because the moments of being afraid or the time you have to be afraid is relatively short.
But, you know, Link Hampton's on the stage with you. I don't think he could have handled it the way you did.
But believe it or not, and this is an honest to God truth, we always laughed afterwards.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing, you would do mornings, right? You'd fly in the morning, and then you'd go home, see Mary for a couple of hours, and then you'd come back and fly in the afternoon.
Right.
So you were putting in like 12-hour days.
It was pretty close to 12 hours.
And the thing I remember about you is you loved doing it. You loved
being
here.
It's because what you didn't see between the 12 hours was my brother and I playing golf at 10 o'clock. No. It was just, I've never seen a city, and I've seen a few, so beautiful in the morning when the sun comes up and in the evening when the sun sets as there is here. And I've never, after 25 years, I could get up tomorrow and I'd still be amazed at the same thing.
Mike Mathis, I'll be a little romantic here, because every time I see a beautiful sunrise in Chicago, I think of you.
I don't think of you, Steve.
Because you used to do that. You used to come into the newsroom and say, you should have seen the sunrise.
You really should.
Yeah.
It's just so beautiful, the way that the city is so, the way the founders mapped everything out, and so, at least on the south side, straight north, south, east, west. Then some guy that drank a lot, he built the north side, and on an angled street. You know, it was just amazing.
Well, I'm happy you're here, Mike Mathis. Congratulations.
I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
There you go. That was a wonderful day, and you could just hear how sincere Mike was. Great, just a great guy. And I love that. I love when Mike said somebody who was drinking designed the North Side. And also when Steve was like, "I think of you every time I see a sunrise." Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't think of you. great guy. All right, just the last quick clip here. Mike spent a significant amount of time working with Spike Odell. Spike Odell retired in 2008 here from WGN, and on his last day, Mike got on and talked with Spike and remembered some stuff here. This is from Spike Odell's last show at WGN.
Mike Mathis, any particular one moment stick out from all of our times together?
You know, I cannot pick one, because whether it be in the morning or in the afternoon, the thing that I enjoyed the most about it is that I knew when I was going to work in the morning, I was going to have fun. That was the important thing. I knew for certain that nothing, you know, we all miss Bob so terribly it isn't funny, but I knew that we were going to laugh again. And that was what our shows, morning, afternoon, didn't matter, were all predicated on the fact that we were going to have fun. Because if we had fun, we were hoping and planning that y'all, everyone else, would have fun as well. And I think that happened.
Yes, thank you.
There it is. Mike Mathis, we miss you, and rest in peace, my friend, and thoughts and condolences and prayers to his wife, Mary, and his family and friends. And I thank Steve and Johnny for coming in and sharing their stories as well. Okay, we're going to take a break here, and we got the news coming up, and then Tom McBride is going to join us to talk about his new book right after this.